This is the proper way to approach us.
Okay. You know, I really like the show you guys do.
Oh, here's $20.
Wow.
That's our guarantee. If you come and say hi to us, Dave will give you $20 Canadian for every person that comes up and says that they like the show. That's our guarantee.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon, 95 and still alive. My name is David Dedrick.
Hi, I'm Ian Boothby. Sorry, guys. I'm just going to be reading for the first bit of this.
You're going to read, so I will vamp?
Yeah, I'm just reading an old adventure comics that has the origin of Mon-El, Superboy's friend and a sort of adopted brother.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, while you're doing that, I will do the plugs.
Okay, please do.
Okay, everybody. Are you feeling a little hungry today? Here's an idea. Go to McDonald's and have a Big Mac. They're pretty good. I like the secret sauce on them, or special sauce. Is it special sauce or secret sauce, Ian?
Do the song, Dave, and you'll answer your own question. To all beef patties, special sauce. Boom! You've answered your own question.
To all beef patties.
It's the same. Sauce. It's the same everywhere in the world except in Vatican City, where it's sacred sauce.
Ah. You just sit there reading and leaving me hanging to dry.
What's that?
Okay.
Sorry, well, just reading Mon-El's. Mon-El has just arrived, and Superboy thinks he's his cousin. Okay. Not his cousin. He thinks he's from Krypton, and so because Kal-El's name is Kal-El, mm-hmm. he names this fellow, because he landed on a Monday, Mon-El.
Well, everybody, the show ran out of steam, episode 95. I hope everyone marks that in their calendars.
Oh, my God, he's allergic to lead.
The episode.
He just got put in the Phantom Zone. Story's over.
Superboy jumped the
Done.
Shark. Well, speaking of books, everybody, don't forget that Ian has a book available for your pleasure on Amazon.
Yep.
You can download it onto your Kindle.
Yeah. It's about tolerance, stupid.
Or if you meet him in the street, give him $5 and he'll give you a PDF of it.
That is true. I carry PDFs in my pocket.
Yes, he does.
That's right. They call me Pocket PDF Pete is what they used to call me. Yeah. Back when my name used to be Pete.
Is that when you had
and then I had to change it because legally you're not allowed to carry PDFs in your pocket. Mm. And well, you can carry them. You can't tell strangers to reach into your pocket and get them out.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm saying to them, you got at least 3 gigs there. All right, get 4 gigs. Reach deeper. There you go.
Okay.
A lot of that stuff.
The name of your book is "It's All About Tolerance, You Stupid Fucking Idiot."
Wow.
Is that what it's called?
Sounds a bit harsh. Okay. Are we still on the plugs?
You can do the plug.
Okay, as long as I've known Dave, he has been a shirt-wearing man.
That's true.
And if you want to be more Dave-like in your life, I'd say wear shirts every day. But not just any shirt. Like, if you really want to take it up to the Dave degree, I'd say wear one designed by Dave. And the only place I can think to get those shirts would be our website, mm-hmm. SneakyDragon.com,
yeah.
where you can get Sneaky Dragon shirts designed by David. Currently, we have 3 designs.
4.
We have 4 designs.
Yeah.
What is the fourth one?
The fourth one
All
is...
All right, what are the 3 designs? One, we've got Sneaky Dragon, sort of an Alien 3.
We have the Alien 3.
Apparently. We have Enter the Dragon.
Enter the Dragon.
Which
the
a lot of people seem to Kill think Bill. Is a Kill Bill reference.
Actually, it's...
It's actually Enter
game,
the...
No, it's actually Game of Death.
Game of Death.
Yeah.
All right, very good. I've been saying it wrong. We have a Ghost Rider, Sneaky Dragon Ghost yep. Rider style. And what's our fourth one?
The fourth one is the actual show logo. The square or
oh, that's correct.
Curved square box thing with the dragon in it, with a Sneaky Dragon.
It looks like he's sneaking a look. It looks like he's in your liver, and he's just sneaking a look out of your liver and seeing what's going on out here. So anyway, those are 4 shirts you can get on our website. If you want to be like Dave, and why wouldn't you want to be like Dave? Yeah, get those shirts.
You can proudly wear them. You can proudly advertise our show. What else could we ask of you than to be a walking billboard for us? Unpaid. You pay us for the honor
yeah.
to walk around advertising our show for us.
That is the way things go.
I think that's awesome.
And want to say thank you to people who have been writing to us. Why don't we start off, actually, with our mailbag? Let's do that. That seems like the kind of thing a proper show would start off with.
Wait, are we finished all the plugs?
I believe so. What else can you think of?
Aren't you performing the Critical Hit show tonight?
I am, but that doesn't matter because we're recording this on a Wednesday, and you'll be listening to it on a Saturday. So unless you have access to a time machine, and in which case you do, please kill Hitler. Don't waste your time going back and seeing the Critical Hit show. If you want to see unless, of course, you're using that time machine to travel to the end of next month, the last Wednesday of next month, in which case, go see the Critical Hit show, our live Dungeons & Dragons experience. But please, please, don't waste precious tachyons on going back to see this, because tachyons are terrible for the environment.
Yes.
Okay, but thank you for the plug that is useless.
No problem.
Okay.
I'm just checking.
All right. So we're going to the mailbag?
We'll go to the mailbag.
All right.
Let's all go to the mailbag. Let's all go to the mailbag.
These are all addressed to Santa Claus.
Shoot.
These should have gone to Macy's. Oh, my God. That court case. Poor man. He's sitting there like a fool. Oh, I feel absolutely terrible. Anyway, I'll just check the email instead.
Sure.
Okay. Oh, there we go. We got a little thing on our website.
Yeah.
What was the gentleman's name who gave us an email?
Well, we got a nice message.
Message, that's
correct.
Actually
a message via Facebook.
If you know one thing about the internet, message boards are where you find pleasant messages.
Yes.
Like if you say you're a sensitive soul.
Which I am.
Yeah, a little thin-skinned, perhaps. Dave is so thin-skinned, I can see his skeleton.
Yeah.
That is how thin-skinned he is.
Yes, I
am. And actually, Dave has a very healthy liver. I'm just looking at that. He is not a drinker, I can see that through his skin.
You're totally going against your plug when you said I always wear shirts.
You do, but your shirts are also just as thin as your skin.
Okay.
So anyway, I have no idea what I'm talking about. I've completely forgotten.
We had a message.
Oh, that's right. Message boards. Message boards are where you go for pleasant discourse and polite society.
Yes. So we had a message from one of our listeners, Rico Burkout. I hope I'm saying your name correctly, Rico. And it's not Rico, which doesn't sound that right now that I've said it. But it could be Rico Burkout.
Mm-hmm. Oh. David Dedrick sounds made up to me too. No, it does. It sounds like someone's like, "Hey, buddy, what's your name?"
Mm-hmm.
David.
Yeah.
What's your last name? Dedrick.
Yeah.
Just make it up.
Is that right? Because someone would obviously want to go through life being called David Dedrick.
No one. Who does that?
Well,
who does that? Besides your parents.
So cruel.
Yeah. That actually reminds me of something that always used to bug me. Speaking of Superman, which I was earlier, you know, I think we might have mentioned this before, but whenever Lois Lane slams Superman calling him Smallville on the show Smallville, she used to live in Smallville. So you're also Smallville. So shut up. But yeah, that'd be funny if your parents who have the same name as you are making fun of your last name. That'd be a weird power move.
Actually, to me, it's really an obvious go-to, but I never was called that in my whole life in school.
Really?
Never.
Well, why would you? Like, that doesn't seem obvious at all.
Well, I was called names, but I never was called that.
What was the top name?
Top name for me?
Yeah, like as an insult name.
Yankee.
Yankee?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Okay.
So I was American.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you used to wear, you used to always walk around with a full-size flag.
I would have a full-size flag. I think, is this because friends knew, so it kind of went around.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You were the only kid who had two large pistols. Yes. With them at all the time.
Yes.
You'd always be eating like a hot dog and an apple pie.
Yeah.
And carry your full-size flag with you.
Yes, at all times.
That's right.
Wore it like a cape. Yes.
And you used to always go like, it's sure nice to be here in America's hat.
That's what they call us.
No, they don't. You know what they call us? Nothing. They don't care.
No, they
yeah,
do.
They do not care about us at all.
Well, it's true they don't care, but if they are asked to form an opinion on us, it is America's hat.
Mm-hmm. By the way, everyone, a siren just went by. Please take a drink.
I'm going to take a drink.
Okay. And let's all hope that person was okay. They're moving a little slow. I think they'll probably be all right.
Actually, the ambulance is stuck behind some people who haven't quite got the idea that you move over from the ambulance.
That bugs me like nobody's business.
Yeah.
It's like... Ambulance, you've been around them all your life. Mm. You were probably delivered in one.
Yeah.
Stop it.
You were delivered in an ambulance?
Well, your mom maybe went to the hospital
that
in an
seems
ambulance.
Like the most... No.
No?
No.
I guess not.
It's pretty rare, I would say.
Okay.
Most times it's the harried husband grabbing the hat that he's carefully put behind him on the bed.
Yes.
On the headboard.
There we go. See?
Wow, these guys are angry.
Well, what happens is if the ambulance doesn't get enough space, they call the angry ambulance. And that's basically the bouncer for the... There we go. All right. Yeah. All that business is being taken care of.
We went into the oncoming lane to go through the light.
Good for them.
Drama.
Good for them. Now, okay, so let's backtrack. You're thin-skinned, your parents call you names, Superman's, Lois Lane's a jerk, and Rico had a question, but okay.
I just wanted to say this play-by-play was brought to you by Coca-Cola.
Oh, all right.
Just another plug. I'm not getting paid for this. But you aren't getting paid if you wear our shirts, so I think it's fair.
Yeah, brought to you by Coke Zero. For zero laughs, it's Coke Zero. All right. So Rico went on the message board.
unlike
someone from, say, the Toronto Sun, he was not looking to cause trouble. I'm only saying that because a guy from the Toronto Sun picked a fight with our friend Brent Butt this week. But we can talk about that later on.
Okay.
All right.
Well, no, let's talk about that now. What happened?
Okay. Well, we will talk instead.
My interest.
What we're going to do, Rico, we're putting your question, we're putting a pin in your question. We're putting it up on the shelf and putting a pin in it. There it goes. It's being pinned. And here's the thing. There was this guy, Ezra something. I forget his last name. Anyway, he works for Sun
Ezra,
Media.
Ezra Pound?
That would probably not be correct. Okay. So anyway, Brent was commenting on his Twitter feed about the terrorist attack in the mall, the Westfield Mall. Is that where it was?
Where is this?
Oh, you're not familiar with this?
No.
There was a recent terrorist attack. It was an Islamic group, and there was a terrorist attack fairly recently.
In Toronto?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So Brent posts a thing going, you know, this amount of people are dead, you know, and it's not even the largest amount of people killed in a religious attack, like in the last week, you know, and his hashtag was, yay, religion. And that was his thing. Okay. So the guy from the Sun Media, Ezra, comes on and goes, you know, why don't you have the guts basically to say what you really mean? You know, what religion are you talking about? You know, say the thing. And Brent's response is, I'm not going to be dragged into your Islamophobic, xenophobic nonsense.
Yeah.
So, you know, basically go climb a rope. And then all this guy's right-wing pals start pounding some butt.
Okay.
As a lot of right-wingers do,
when
it comes right down to it, they really can't get enough of pounding some butt.
Okay.
And then some of Brent's, you know, folks
peeps.
Get on there too, peeps, you know, going on that. And I think, like, Brent took the high road on that, and Ezra just kept coming. Just call it Islam, man. Call it Islam. Call it. Just do it. Why are you a coward? A lot of that bullshit. And then he went on Sun Television or what have you, made a video and, you know, said, what a butt, the Ezra guy.
Okay.
And so it was like a stupid, stinky message board, bluch kind of thing.
I see. But it wasn't one of, because I just read that, I think it's Scientific American are disabling the comment section.
By the way, the only thing that Dave will read that has to do with science is Scientific American, because it's American.
Scientific Yankees.
That's right. You can't see, and maybe you can't hear it, but there's a giant eagle over his right shoulder.
Yes. Which I feed it small beavers.
Reagan the Eagle.
Reagan the Eagle. Just Ronald, please.
Okay.
Ronald Eagle.
You can call him that, but I got
to
call him Reagan.
Yeah, you have to go home, please. They disabled their comments section on their website.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I read. I think it was Scientific American. It may have been something else, but it was a scientifically oriented website.
And they had a lot of people going in and going, science is bullshit?
I have no idea why. I just saw the link. I had a busy work day today, so I was doing a quick run through Facebook, and I just saw this as a link, and I thought, oh, that looks interesting. I'll read that later, but I never had time. It's one of those days.
Well, that's the thing, like, on the most recent Real Time with Bill Maher, he was slamming message boards as, like, the lowest of the low, and people posting on there, or the, you know.
Just here's call it what it is.
What's that?
Call it what it is. It's slamming.
It's slamming you.
Yeah, it's slamming.
I is slamming you is what it is.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. He was doing this whole thing about how that's, you know, the cheapest shots. And it was like people calling Jonah Hill. Is he the fella who's in, like, This Is the End? That guy? Big guy?
Yep.
Yeah. And
it was
like,
why don't you,
well, no, he's kind of a big guy again.
Okay.
And it was like, yeah, why don't you shut up, you fat fag, you, and all this kind of stuff. It was people just posting stuff like that, which of course is ridiculous and stupid and whatever. But
he's not fat.
But before this, it was his last segment, which is, you know, new rules. And you do a series of jokes, and then you do the kind of heartfelt speech about, you know, what we really should do. And it's like, all right, so you got to take the high road is what you're saying. We shouldn't be doing this kind of stuff. But, like, leading into it, we're two just stupid fat, and I'm saying stupid as in,
not good.
Fat jokes that were just like the
mean-spirited.
Mean-spirited. The first joke was, you know, scientists have called this one fish, and it was this really gelatinous, stupid, I don't want to say stupid. Why am I calling things stupid?
It's
a stupid fish, but it's got a weird face. It looks kind of dumb. And it was like the most disgusting animal there is. Well, they should go to Walmart, and they cut to the back of a woman who's fat, who's shopping.
Mm.
And it's like, all right, Well, rich guy's calling the person shoving a ball by the head. And then he does another fat joke about someone who's like a politician who's cutting food stamps. And I'm like, okay, there's fair comment there, I say, where like you're taking food out of someone's mouth, but you're a big guy. Maybe there's something there.
Okay.
But it's just like, well, listen, man, you're like the Lord of cheap shots yourself. You know, you can't claim the high road and then except, you know, it feels like you don't want the amateurs taking away what you professionals do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, blech to that.
When you first said cutting food stamps, I was picturing the guy sitting cutting food stamps, like cutting them out of a,
oh, I see,
a book of stamps.
Like, no, cutting the funding.
He's cutting the program.
That's right, cutting the funding.
They should cut it. It should become food credit cards, because stamps are like, that's so old-fashioned.
Kids love stamps,
though.
Who
uses stamps anymore?
Kids love stamps.
Kids do love stamps.
Yeah.
And stickers.
Mm-hmm. Maybe make them stickers. Make them nice stickers.
That you can collect in a book. And you collect all 400.
Just make them non-shameful and don't... Ugh. Just the poor shaming. Boo. Boo on that. So that was like an anti-message board thing that was going on as well. Which leads into our positive message board thing.
I wish I hadn't brought up the Scientific Discovery American thing now, because I had no information. I was just saying it.
Well, I feel terrible about not knowing enough about that terrorist attack recently. When I was like, well, it took place in... God damn it.
Is this the one in Africa?
Damn it. You know what? I feel like a complete rude.
I don't really pay much attention to
and
the
And, of course, we have multiple computers around, and we could look it up, but we're not going to.
Yeah.
Folks, you know what we're talking about. And we could not have made ourselves look dumber. Listen, I'm just saying, go to our message board and tell us we're a couple of real dead dicks.
Well, speaking of dicks, I've been working a lot on my deck. And you know,
oh, wait, are we going right to deck talk?
That's my excuse.
What about Rico's question?
Well, we'll get to that.
Oh, Rico, I could not be more sorry. Listen, if we're doing your deck, we got to like do the deck song.
Okay, you do the deck song.
Okay. Deck the hall with stories from Dave about his deck. His now his stories. Here's the deck story segment of the show here. It's time for deck talk. Go.
Wow, that was great. Just to update everyone on where the deck is. It still has a tarp on it. But what I have been able to do, and we have not had any. Because, you know, I think, Ian, you'll agree with me that we've had quite a bit of rain in the last little while.
How rainy was it?
It was so rainy that I could do very little work on my deck, is what I'm trying to, my excuse, is what I'm saying. So I was able to get the...
Dave, by the way, you might not know, is a witch.
Hmm?
And any slight amount of moisture that gets onto David...
Yes.
By the way, how filthy was the Wicked Witch of the West since she could not bathe? Did she just have to sandblast herself?
I was going to say, she bathed in sand.
Just rolled around in sand?
Rolled around in it, yeah.
She would have smelled terrible.
She also could have just put Purell on.
Did she never urinate? Did she ever drink liquids?
She couldn't urinate on herself. Well, she did. It would get just a slight burn.
That makes no sense to me. Anyway, please continue.
I was able to get the fascia boards up.
The fascia boards.
Yeah. Now, those are the boards that cover, like, okay, so you know when you build a, like, a frame structure,
mm-hmm.
you have your exposed framing under, you know, and so you cover...
If you're feeling sexy, you have the exposed framing.
That's right. That's right. People say, is that exposed framing, or are you just happy to see me? So when you, you know, when you see it, like, you cover most of it up with sheathing, right? So you see they'll put up, like, the OSB board
right.
to cover up.
I'm actually picturing that this is a sex line that someone calls up. Just like, so anyway, I'm covering it with the sheathing. All right. And that's some exposed board there. Anyway, let me tell you what I did next.
Boom, chicka, wow. So most of it is covered with
got out my Black & Decker.
And I have vinyl siding up on the shop.
Okay.
So the part that isn't covered with sheathing and isn't covered with vinyl siding
right.
has the fascia boards on it. So
okay.
I have a fascia board, and then I have a drip edge. So I have like a 1x10 fascia board, and then I have a 1x6, I think, drip edge. And so now I have to get the plywood onto that. The problem is, like, today is a beautiful day.
Gorgeous.
If I wasn't doing the podcast today, I could be at home doing some of the plywood. So the problem is I have to take all the tarps off. And expose the shop to the weather. So if it's raining out, I really can't do very
much. So you can't do this when you go home tonight. Well, you will go to the gym probably after this. You'll play the Rocky theme as loud as possible in your headphones. I mean the theme to Rocky IV.
I wasn't actually planning to go to the gym, but if I get home and it's dark out, I really can't do very much. So it's getting dark here.
You have no night vision.
7:30 now.
Right, and of course, as you know, Dave is Amish. does not believe in light after God says it's time for it to be dark.
I can tell you've never done woodwork. if you think you can just do it outside in the dark with a floodlight lighting your work. So yeah, you know, it's sort of a job best done in the daylight where you can see the pencil lines you're cutting.
Oh, okay. All right.
And so...
measure twice, cut once.
Well, I'm actually of the measure once, cut twice school.
Okay.
I usually fall in that category. When I made my CD drawers downstairs, I made them three times to get them right.
I thought you were talking about, like, cutting a CD. When you were recording a CD...
I wasn't cutting a
CD. We did a lot of... Yeah, okay.
When I was making the storage drawers for them.
By the way, I felt a little bad, like, that we're cutting off Rico's question, but... someone else was talking about on our message board was like, enough of your trollop talk, David.
Yes, that's right.
How's the deck?
Yeah, they seem really concerned.
They were really concerned with the deck, and I think we skipped our deck talk last week.
Yes, we did.
And I apologize for that, which is why you're getting double deck talk right now.
It's double deck.
Okay.
Double decker. So I did that, and I also I decided I was going to fix the stairs because when I was tearing it apart, some of the stringers got wrecked. Because I couldn't get the screws out, so I was just kind of... It just gave me like a tear down rather than a carefully disassemble and move. So I cut the stringers, and I cut all the treads. And so I just have to put that together on a day when it's nice out, like today.
So how long do you think it'll be till the deck is finalized?
Till I'm done my part of it?
Yes. Wait, is there someone else who's coming in?
Yeah, I would have to get a vinyl covering done on the deck.
And that would be a professional?
I would have to get
a professional vinyl gentleman would come in?
I don't want to do that myself.
A professional vinyl gentleman. That'd be an interesting fella to see.
Yeah.
All dressed in vinyl.
He's dressed in vinyl. Wears vinyl pants, vinyl jacket.
Yeah.
Vinyl tie.
Just comes in. This is thighs rubbing together.
Why? This is uncomfortable. That's what he says.
Yeah.
Every day.
I had the worst guidance counselor, he says. He told me it was this or nothing.
I have to... I don't want to do it myself because I'm just afraid it'll fail. And fail spectacularly, and then...
And then we'd have funny stories to tell.
Well, yeah, funny stories, but destroyed equipment, shop, you know.
That's the price you pay for funny stories on the air.
I guess that's...
Otherwise, who wants to hear about successful deck talk?
Oh,
no one. No one wants to hear that. They want to hear horrible thing happen. Like, when the rain poured down into your deck, our ratings went through the roof, brother.
Is that right?
Oh! Never been higher.
Did I tell you when I was pulling the tarp on, I fell through the roof?
No!
Yeah.
Go say that story. Get the ratings up.
Well, I was trying to pull the tarp back on.
Okay. Oh, by the way, everybody, look on your recording device right now.
Mm-hmm.
See what time it is, because this is the time you're going to want to send to your friends and go like, fast forward on the podcast till this time, and Dave's going to tell the story of falling through the deck. Okay.
So
go now. You've marked it, everybody. Here's another thing you can do if you've got an iPhone: take a picture of the screen right now where it's at. You'll be able to just send that picture, and they'll be able to get to it exactly. Okay, David, back to you and your story. Please set the stage.
Okay, so I'm pulling this tarp onto the deck. My deck is quite large.
Are you listening to music at this time?
No. I'm outside.
You can listen to music outside.
No, I'm outside.
But you can listen to music while you're outside.
Yeah, I was outside. So then...
you're not hearing what I'm saying.
Oh, no.
I'm saying you can listen to music when you're outside.
What's that about licorice?
Okay.
I was pulling on this, and it's a big tarp. It's like 30 feet.
How big was it?
It's so big that when it wraps around the house... It wraps around those. It's quite large. It's 50 feet by 30 feet. It's really large.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm exaggerating slightly. It's 30 feet by 20 feet, something like that. It's huge, though. It covers the whole deck, or most of the deck. So I was pulling it up, and I was walking on the rafters, or like this,
Right.
And so I thought...
What you don't know about Dave is he's former circus folk, so this is no problem at all.
It was a problem, so I thought, you know what would be better?
Your mother was a human cannonball, and your father was a tumbler.
Yes.
So...
I remember that insult from Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
What's that?
The French knight says, your mother was a tumbler, and your father smelled of elderberries.
Oh, wow. Okay.
No, that's not true.
All right.
So then...
all right. So I'm disappointed.
So I just thought, this is hard to do because I'm standing on these rafters. So what I'll do is I'll take the little bits of pieces of the plywood that I cut and I'll put them down to use as steps. So I put something up there and then I stepped on one, but in the wrong place. So it seesawed,
right.
It tipped up, and I went down between the rafters. But I didn't hit the ground. I was able to grab onto either rafter and hold myself up in the air and climb back up.
I'm glad you're all right.
The only problem was like, I fell against the plastic that was stapled to the roof.
Right.
And I tore all that down. And so then all the sawdust and dead ants and everything just came tumbling down into the shop.
Okay. Well, now I'm quite angry about this.
Why?
Okay. Here's why.
I didn't hurt myself?
No.
I didn't hurt myself. I had a bad cut on my leg.
That's okay.
That's the
humor. Here's why I'm upset. We've got this show, and we're trying to get new listeners. Okay. And you're involved in this project where you're Laurel and Harding all over the place.
Yes.
Would it kill you to set up a camera, and when you have these falling fuck-ups where ants are falling on your head and you're being sawdusted and you're dangling between two rafters,
yes,
if you could just record it, put it on YouTube with a and could you, while you're doing it, wear a Sneaky Dragon shirt?
Okay.
If you could just wear the Sneaky Dragon shirt, okay, and you're up there and just like, just, and don't even try to get in trouble. Just do your business. Do the normal things you do.
You know that I will get in trouble. Yeah.
You will completely, you know, screw it up. So, and then we'll put that on the YouTube. Yeah. The ratings will go through the roof. Like, what's a Sneaky Dragon? Check out our podcast. Yeah, it'd be great.
I didn't think of that.
Or you got to do a twerking video. One of the two.
So I have to do another twerking video?
Oh, were you twerking up there when you twerking fell through? Well, that's part of the problem. You can't combine wood work with wood twerk.
Yeah.
You just can't. That's why there's no such thing as wood twerking. I just picture Mike Holmes standing a few feet away with his arms folded and just shaking his head, just going,
It was not the safest idea.
No, I ever had. No, that does not sound like the fit.
But I still did it. After that, I still did it.
Oh, God, set the camera up. It's cheap. It's cheap. You've got your laptop. It's got a camera in it. Just aim the laptop at, if you can get Millis or Phyllis to just like stand there, you know, and just film daddy while he's doing his worky work.
What more would they want to do than stand there holding a camera while I work?
Well, I mean, once they see all the YouTube hits, you get more than a million, you get some cash.
Is that how it works?
Yeah.
Over a million.
About that. Yeah, it's a little less than that. You get some money. Yeah.
You get a dollar.
You get more than a dollar.
It's $1 per million listeners or viewers. No?
just start filming yourself. Okay. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Okay, good.
All right, so let's, I think we can safely get back to
Rico's
question.
All right, back to Rico's question. Here we go. Wait, let me get the mailbag out again.
Okay.
Right, it was all Santa letters. God damn it. Oh, one letter's to the Easter Bunny. Who writes to the Easter Bunny?
I did.
Okay, let me just see what it went. Dear Easter Bunny, send me the gift of balance. Oh, well, I think that was the problem.
He never came through.
Nope.
Okay, Easter Bunny. So, I don't know if you remember Rico's message.
Obviously the listeners don't because they've never read it.
Okay.
Unless they've been on our website and they've actually read the message.
Do you want to read the whole thing or just the...
How about you just paraphrase? Wait, how about instead you paranormal phrase and read it like a ghost? Dear friends,
dear Sneaky Dragon.
Okay, go ahead.
I really enjoy your show. I think that's basically it. He said, "I really
enjoy
your show."
And then it was just, "Avenge me." He said, "I really
enjoy your show." Avenge my death.
By the way, when someone says avenge their death,
yeah,
don't
avenge the death.
Never a good thing. Except in one case, and that was the movie The Avengers.
Yeah.
In which case it was...
Whose death were they avenging?
They were avenging... I don't want to spoil it. There's someone who needs avenging in there. Someone dies.
Would that be The Incredible Hulk?
No.
Oh.
No. The Incredible Hulk... Well, I was going to say The Incredible Hulk doesn't die, but then, of course, he dies in Death of the Incredible Hulk. Wait. He dies in Trial of the Incredible Hulk? It's not one of the Incredible Hulk movies.
He dies in Beneath the Planet of the Incredible Hulk.
That's right. In one of the movies, it's really stupid. Bruce Banner falls out of a plane and then dies. It's stupid. It's just completely stupid. It would not kill the Hulk. It was ridiculous. There was a ridiculous way to end the TV series. It's making me angry. Back to Rico.
But we can't tell you where that terrorist attack took place.
Oh,
we can tell you, however, Trial of the Incredible Hulk.
Well, you know what? It was because it was back before the internet when I had an attention span. Look, you look at the news at night and here's what you get. You get the biggest tragedy in the world is there, but it's on a split screen with like five other things. And down below is a ticker tape of, you know, a dog can play, you know, backgammon. And then there's the weather and the sports. And then there's an ad for the latest, you know, type of cola. And then there's another thing in the other corner. And then there's just a picture of a Wang. And, you know, it's all that stuff. And it's like...
You mean a Wang computer?
That's right. Yeah, what do you think I meant?
I just wanted to clarify for the...
Yeah.
In case they thought that you meant a...
A what?
Wango Tango, the album by Ted Nugent.
Why would they still be advertising that?
It's because, you know, it came out on CD recently.
Okay.
It's Expanded Edition, Legacy Edition. It's a 2-CD
Oh, it's an expanded Wango Tango.
It's a 2-CD set, yeah.
Okay, that's good.
It has the full 20-minute version of Wango Tango.
If you order the extra special version, you get a gun in the middle of it.
Well, the song ends with Ted Nugent killing a deer with a bow and arrow.
Does it actually do that?
What?
I don't know. The guy's crazy. I don't know. It possibly could. I'm just saying. Everything is attention split. Like, listen, folks, let's be honest. You're not just listening to this right now. You're clearly doing something more important as well.
There's no way
you're just listening to this. So anyway, that's why I can't remember this horrific incident where it took place, and I feel terrible about it. You know what I don't feel terrible about? Rico. Let's get back to Rico.
Okay, so...
By the way, Rico, if you want to play a drinking game, every time that we say your name, take a drink, and you will be dead about 15 minutes ago. Okay.
Well, continue, David. How big of a drink you take, but...
anything. Water. You'd still
water,
be dead.
He'd be dead. Drown.
There's no... Yeah, you drown, and... Okay.
Okay. So, he said he really enjoys the show. He's been a listener since you were on Caustic Soda.
Oh, okay.
So that's quite a while ago. I can't remember when it was.
Yeah, it's a nice shout out, by the way, to the Caustic Soda fellas.
Yeah.
Who are friends of the show. We've done, guys. We've done live shows together,
sure.
And they're swell. Yeah, if you haven't listened to Caustic Soda, worth a listen. Sometimes a little bit disturbing, their content,
mm-hmm.
Unlike us talking about Wango Tango.
So
when they do their all deck episode, they have said that they would like you on.
Oh, really?
As a consultant. Your voice is terrible.
Yes. Well,
it's completely radio inappropriate, but they would like you as a consultant.
Yeah. We've established how terrible my voice is.
Yes.
And my pronunciation of voice. He said, really likes the show, listened since Caustic Soda, was at the live at the X Bar.
Okay. Then, yeah.
He was there at X Plunge, but he was too shy to come up to us.
I was too shy to talk to him as well.
And
I was too shy to actually go really into the audience and say, hey, to people.
Unlike
I really
me,
was.
When I walked out into the crowd on their hands and I was reaching down and, you know, high-fiving people.
But of course, we can see through your skin, so it's very disturbing because you can see your blood flowing.
Yeah.
I understand why they're all
amongst
like,
amongst other bodily fluids. So, and also we were kind of sweaty after because we had that wrestling match during the show.
That's right.
Which I had to cut out, unfortunately, because the sound dropped out. I don't know why. I think one of us kicked a microphone or pulled a cord out or something happened. But so we were kind of sweaty from that. And I can see why people didn't want to come up and
anyway, but shake the
hands.
Result of the wrestling match was the Higgs boson does exist.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
So we decided it for CERN. They don't even need to do any more experiments.
Yeah.
We've pretty much, this is our wrestling match over it.
Yeah.
Okay. So then,
it was 1, 2, 3, Higgs boson. The end.
Explosion.
Oh, let's hope not. That'd be very dangerous.
So then, his final question was, or his final part of the message, if you'll let me finish, was what was it again?
He asked me. Shut up. Hey, you over there, shut up. Stop interrupting.
Hey, shut up.
And now listen to me.
Shut up.
I'm off on my tear. Last 3 seconds. Help. Help!
Okay, shut up.
What was I talking about? I'm all alone.
He wondered,
I'm so scared. I can see through my skin.
His question was...
Okay.
His question was...
Let's all get serious.
How did we get started doing a podcast? And it's at moments like that that I ask myself, how did I get started doing this podcast?
All right. That's an interesting point. So how far back do we want to go on that? Do we want to go like how we generally knew each other before this? Or do we want to just start straight at... the podcast.
Well, I guess we can do a quick recap.
A quick historical recap.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can start.
So it was the 80s. Dave, could you sing some 80s music so I can set up the 80s?
He ran so far.
There you go. That's right.
Is that a song?
So Dave and I grew up in North Delta, which if you haven't been there, good for you. It's a place where you can grow up and you can have a good time or you can have a bad time. I was not having a great time. Dave was having a slightly better time than me.
I enjoyed my young days.
Right. We did not know each other in junior high school. We
went to the same junior high school.
But we did not know each other.
But
and
we
then
were a grade apart, which at that time is rather like a Grand Canyon rather than
absolutely. Absolutely. It's like a grade of diamond apart.
Yes.
We could not be more different.
Yeah.
Dave and I both love jewelry. Fine jewelry. If you want to send us some jewelry, yeah, go for it. Oh, we also give cash for gold. I don't know if we've ever mentioned that on the show. This whole podcast started as a cash for gold situation. And we've forgotten to mention that every episode. So please, send us your gold and we will send you some amount of cash.
We'll send you t-shirts in exchange.
Right. So anyway, send us your gold. Just put it in an envelope. Write gold inside, so they're very delicate with it at the post office, and just send us your gold. Okay, so Dave and I are in high school together.
Yes.
And Dave, and at this point, I have been doing sketch comedy on television for about 2 or 3 years with a show called Switchback on CBC. That's what I've been doing.
Yeah.
So, and David has a love of sketch comedy Python and, of course, the Goons before them, and you're kind of one of those kids who's a comedy aficionado.
That's what I would say, yes.
Yeah, I'm more of a comedy, like, I like stand-up. That was kind of my background, was I used to like listening. There was a show on, maybe not CBC radio, but some Canadian radio that was like 2 a.m. where you could listen to stand-up comedy, like classic albums, and I would always wake myself up to listen to these things.
Yeah.
And that was kind of my background. But I loved sketch because I could actually write it and be in it, and stand-up seemed impossible to me. So Dave is coming at it from a love of Python and that kind of stuff.
Well, because that was the sort of person I remember reading in the Rolling Stone Record Review Guide, which I read from A to Z, and it said in there, the Bonzo Dog Duda Band, if you want to understand British comedy pre-Monty Python, this is a place to start. And so that immediately put me on a 2-year search for that record, for the history of the Bonzos.
Right. And of course, in the 80s, when you were on a search, it wasn't a search engine that you would click on, and 3 seconds later, boom, there's everything you ever wanted to know. It's, oh, I've got to go a scrounging.
I actually found the album at Sam the Record Man's in Toronto when I was in grade... I read about it in grade 8. I found it in grade 10.
Nice. Good on Sam the Record Man.
Yep.
So David liked sketch comedy. And as, say, a young man who liked music would do, you're like, let's form a band. You decided, let's form a troupe. I'm now passing this over to you because the story continues with you. Go.
The story continues. Well, you didn't really say where we met because we didn't meet through the troupe. We actually met in...
choir?
We sang in lunchtime choir together.
Okay.
Which
why did
automatically
you...
marked us as, you know, super popular,
right,
hip guys.
Right. While I was doing sketch comedy, I was also doing... I started off kind of acting. The reason I started writing sketch comedy was to write acting roles for myself.
Yes.
I could write a full play, but that's a hard thing to do. So I'd write a 3-minute sketch because that's a lot easier. And I would always write a part for myself in it. And da, da, da. But I would also be doing community theater during this time.
Okay.
So, I'd be in musicals and that kind of thing. And what I learned was in musicals, like if you just go to school and go to, say, Woodshop, there's a bunch of dudes and they're assholes. Nothing against them, but they're generally...
Yeah.
A little scary.
They're scary.
They're guys that are bigger than you. Yeah. They're like 3 times as big. Like, you look like Russian stacking dolls when you're next to them. But
they were held back a few grades.
Here's the funny thing. If you go to, say, a thing like a community musical theater thing, there's women, I would say ladies, girls. They're girls at that point.
Yeah.
Who are your age.
That makes them girls.
Who are very beautiful. Who, if you know how to sing a little bit, you can now do a romantic song with them, and that's spending some time with them, and then you get a rehearsal process where you have to spend like weeks and you end up bonding with them, and then you might end up kissing them. So I went...
How did that work?
It worked pretty fucking good.
Oh, wow.
I've got to say.
Wow.
Like that, you know why? Because they didn't know who I was from school. It was that fantasy you have sometimes where like, if I could just move to another country and just like, you know, start again, I'd be fine. Yeah. You know, and this was like another country.
Carrying that stigma of junior high school.
Yeah, no one knows who you are, right? Yeah. They're just judging you on like who you are then. And if you're fairly good at acting and singing, then you're fine. You're doing great. So that was great. So I was trying to think like at school, how do I get a little bit of that going on? And it was like, oh, there's this choir thing. What is it? It's basically all girls and you just sit around and you sing. Sounds good. I could see how this would work out. But then this son of a bitch shows up. Another fox in the hen house, and he's like ruining all my action.
How was I doing that?
Well, you were wearing your fancy clothes and big shot with your big tuft of chest hair and all your chains coming in there and coming in, and you're always coming in like, hey, ladies, who wants to sing some choir?
I was so guileless. Such a thought never occurred to me.
No.
And if I do ever say that to someone like, oh, I was in choir where there was lots of girls. I would be totally lying.
Well,
because that would never occur to me at the time.
Here was the kind of thing that would happen to me when I was in choir. I'd be sitting and I'd be singing, and one of the girls next to me would think, like, you know what's funny? If I squeeze his leg, he laughs, and he'll get in trouble. And all I can think was, she's squeezing my leg. I don't care how much fucking trouble I get into. This is the kind of trouble I want.
Yeah.
You know, because one, I get that, and then she apologized to me, and then she's like, oh, I'm sorry about that. I feel really bad. Yeah, all right. Where can we go with it? It was like pretty good.
Yeah,
so choir was all right. So anyway, we met in choir.
I'm too dumb to run with those sort of things, as you know. So, but I was in choir because the teacher asked me to. Like she said, I need some boys. The same way that I played trumpet in band.
Right.
I wanted to play flute because I was a macho he-man.
Nowadays, teachers are not allowed to say, I need some boys. It was a very different era.
I was a macho he-man. I wanted to play flute. She said, no, we have too many flutes, so you can play trumpet. I said, okay, I'll play trumpet. So that's why I play trumpet. Wasn't like I went, trumpet's my dream instrument. Who wouldn't want to play trumpet? You know, it's so great. You can pull it at a party with all your friends there. Come on, guys, let's have a sing-along.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Dave, that you got to realize is like the second, because this is a suburban. There you go. I'll let you finish. Perfect. So, yeah. So it's like, but here's the thing about a trumpet. It's like, it's a suburban party. Someone's going to drink too much. Someone's going to fall in the pool. Someone's going to die. And then who's Mr. Big Shot who can play taps?
That's right. I'm there.
And everyone goes like, good on that guy.
Can't even reach the note of my own voice. Should have started at a lower key. Sorry, folks. Because I knew the choir teacher from band, and she said, you know, she said that to me, I need men. And you're a man, so join afternoon choir lunchtime choir. So I did, and we sat.
By the way, this is how the village people formed as well.
Exactly. And we sat beside each other, and you know, I have such a highly developed nerddar that I was able right away to recognize that you were like.
You really didn't need a lot of nerddar to pick up on that.
I was able right away. I didn't know you. I didn't know who you were.
No, there. But it's pretty obvious.
Maybe. So I right away I was like, oh, this guy's really interesting. He's got a sense of humor and stuff like that. So then I started talking to you about the. Did I start talking to you, or did you just see the posters for it?
Oh, I think I saw the posters for it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I think I still have the posters for it.
Me too.
Yeah.
The one I got in trouble for from the school principal?
What was the one you got in trouble for?
The one you have.
Okay, explain
because
it.
Because you know, we wrote, you know, wanted actor writers, you know, interested in forming comedy troupe with,
right.
You know, blah, blah, blah. But I just didn't want it to be all guys, because I knew that if we did this, it would just be all guys.
Right.
And so I said, you know, girls welcome or whatever. And then this is a joke. I put a shovel digging into the ground near some little chicks. And I put, we dig chicks. This is a dumb joke, right?
Yeah.
That's what I got in trouble for. The principal called me into the office and he's like, we dig chicks. I don't like that. I was like, well, it's a dumb pun. But I mean, other than that, what's so bad? He's like, no, take it off. So I had to cut it off the poster.
Yeah.
And then tape them back together. Because I was just like a
You had
strip.
To write, we hate chicks. It was like, now cooties. It's a freedom of speech issue. Good for you.
Ooh, cooties.
And the group was called Footlights.
Yeah, named after the Cambridge Comedy Club, the
Footlights. Who were some famous members of the Cambridge Footlights?
Peter Cook, John Cleese, Graham Chapman, Tim Brooke Taylor from the Goodies, Bill Oddie from the Goodies, Graham Garden from the Goodies. Lots of people who were not the 9 o'clock news. Rowan Atkinson. Griff Riss Jones, Mel Smith, lots of people have come cool. through there.
And so you named the group after that. And yeah, that's where we started doing sketch comedy at sort of lunch hours.
Yeah.
And it was quite successful for what it was. Yeah. We got nice audiences.
We had big audiences.
We were going to be on TV a couple of times, like on a local TV station, but we got bumped by Katie Lang and the Thompson Twins,
yes.
respectively.
Yes.
We had a horrible cable special.
Oh, that was bad.
That's there's a cable special that's out there.
It'll live in infamy.
That will, that was a tough one. And
I should say it will hide in infamy.
Right. And after that time, we occasionally do little comedy things together. Like there's another cable thing called Ricky Recycles Adventures, which was the adventures of a raccoon who was a recycler. And Dave and I played a variety of characters on there. Yeah. The one I remember is we were two...
bundles of newspaper.
Clearly gay newspaper bundles
that's right.
that wanted to get recycled.
Why was that our choice of voice or was that their suggestion?
Dude, I don't remember much of it.
Either.
But yeah.
Because I played another character who had kind of like a Joe Clark, who is a former prime minister. It's kind of
yep. Well, I don't quite know. I
just kind of thing like that.
What was that? What was that character?
I have no idea what he was.
Trash can?
I don't know.
I think I played another character as well. Anyway,
isn't it amazing when you do?
I am constantly looking for that clip online.
When
by the
you
way.
Had that experience, you thought to yourself, "I will never forget this." You know, you're like, "I'll always remember this. It's so crazy." And yeah. Then, like 2 days later, you're like, "What? What was I in that show?"
So from that point on, we also were interested in cartooning, and so yeah. And so I started later on doing mini comics, a comic called I.
Very successful.
And it's all on a swinging scale. And Dave did a couple of things too. We did some jamming stuff together called We're So Jar. Mm-hmm. You did your own comic called Rounders, and yep. We would occasionally do stuff. And you did zine work and what have you. So anyway, yep. We were always involved in something creative.
Yeah.
And then,
Well, trudging through normal life.
Right. And why I'm bringing up I is my I stories were mostly autobiographical, but there were also little comedy bits and little things that I thought were funny. Yeah, I would do. It was a variety, but for the most part, what I tried to do was tell as much truth as I could about my own life. And then as things progressed, people got to know me a bit too well, and it became awkward to do the stuff. Because,
is that right?
Yeah, that was one of the problems. Was, you know, I would like refer to someone who was a friend of mine, but that friend of mine was well known, and so I couldn't say too much about them. And yeah. So I had to kind of keep mum.
Yeah.
Like I did one thing like about my friend Dean, who was at that point starting to be regular on the X-Files and what have you. And it was a thing where he and his girlfriend had a fight because there was some condoms that were found in a back seat, but they're actually mine. And so the story did relate to me. Yeah. And he was telling me about this and was like, "You got me in a lot of trouble." And that was awkward, apparently, between them that I told that story in a comic.
Okay.
And so I was like, all right. So I got to be a little bit more careful about disguising names and rearranging things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so to kind of tone that down. And then I regularly was doing like a comic strip in a local newspaper, and I sort of like changed it up a little bit, but you know, was always doing that kind of thing.
Sure.
Meanwhile, what were you up to?
At that time, what time would this be?
Let's go 90s.
Because my life kind of stopped about 94, mm-hmm. My first daughter came. And after that, it was really hard to get out of the house.
Yeah.
Because you're a dad.
Responsible for a life.
Dad, and I had a job, and I had to, look after a daughter and look after the house, and, you know, just life took over.
You are the opposite of what you call a deadbeat dad.
No, I was still deadbeat. But, you know, I did it at home. Which I think, you're going to compromise.
I think that's the opposite of a deadbeat dad, quite frankly.
Compromise. But, I mean, I was really involved with both
absolutely,
my daughters.
Absolutely, yeah.
I walked them to school every day. I was in the pack at school. I was the parent, whatever it is, parent advisory committee. And I was on this weird budget committee at school, which seemed to be sitting there and agreeing with what the principal decided to do.
And whenever they had groups that needed them, you would just go, "We need boys. I need some boys." And you'd walk around the school until they asked you to leave.
Very politely.
Yeah.
They asked me to leave.
At first, they're very polite.
I always cooked the hamburgers for the parent-teacher barbecue night, parent-teacher meeting night barbecue, which we had at the school. And what was weird, strange, is you cook all the hamburgers, and then everything, my face and hair and glasses were covered in grease. Like just
so it was
coated.
Like high school.
It was just coated. Yeah, that's what I felt like. I was back in high school again. Wait, is my face breaking out?
I feel young.
Well, I always feel like that. My face-wise. It was just kind of a strange period because, you know, you can't... Like, I really thought, like, when Mary first came... I mean, Millis first came... Sorry, I gave that away.
It's okay. She's of age now. You can use her real name. She had her birthday. By the way, happy birthday, Millis.
Millis, happy birthday. She had a good birthday, I think.
Good.
And she's going for her final driving test on this Friday.
Oh, cool. Good luck.
Good luck to Millis. So, yeah, I just, you know, your life just, you just really think that, oh, you know, I can still work a full-time job, have a family, you know, take care of all these things and draw.
Mm-hmm.
And it just did not work out for me, partly because I'm the terrible procrastinator, perfectionist, like all the problems that you can have as
a creative
person.
You're up there with like one of the best dads. Let's just go with that. Well, so you did some fucking great dadding around. So yeah, there's no, you know, I wish, yeah, but yeah, you know, you full on. Oh, good thanks. Kids, well done.
Oh, I'm blushing. So, but it's kind of funny. Like when I was reading former guest of the show, Robert Dayton, did a newspaper kind of thing called the Drippytown Gazette.
Yes.
And it's something that I would have like been sort of tangentially involved in 5 years previously.
Right. There was a lot of local cartoonists doing comic strips then. Yeah.
Yeah. But by that point, you didn't even know it existed. To be honest with you, when I heard about it, I first heard about it like 2 years ago, because I was so out of it by that point.
Oh, like, it's easy to get out of it. Like, yeah. I'm that way with a lot of improv right now in town, where like you step away for like 6 months and like, what? Who's that? What's going on? There's a foul. What? Yeah, you completely. I completely understand what you're talking about.
Because there's this whole scene happening, and I was sort of part of it. You know, I would go to the comics or the scene shows or the little comic shows and stuff like that. And then I didn't for 5 years or whatever. And then just you're out of it. You might as well not even existed because everything has moved past you.
By the way, you can get back into it quite easily.
I know.
But yeah, once you're out of it, you feel like you are out of it.
So that's been sort of my life for the last little while. And I did do some creative things, but I started writing a mystery novel, for instance. And that's sitting there still.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about halfway
there. Do you know how it ends?
No, I was writing it without a plan.
Okay.
Because I don't like to write with a plan. I like just to write and see what happens. So I know it's a mystery novel. You shouldn't do that. But
It's what you call a whodunit. No, seriously, whodunit. I have no idea. Signed, the author.
Well, I think you can write it and then go back and then pepper in.
Oh, absolutely,
clues or whatever.
You can. Like, you know. Absolutely, you can. Yeah.
So it was about it took place just after World War II, and the idea is the main character is he's a kind of low level publicist at a major Hollywood studio. And this star is coming back who was active in the war. He left Hollywood to fight in World War II. And he's coming back, and there are concerns about him as a possible loose screw. But they want him to, you know, there's a lot invested in this person. So they want this guy to be his caretaker. And then this actor, his wife gets killed. And he's accused, and it's up to the publicist to keep him out of trouble and solve the crime. That was where I was going with it.
I like it. What, have you got a name for it?
Flying Down.
Cool. It's better than Loose Screw.
Well, because the film they're working on is kind of that series of South American sort of films that were popular at the time. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to predict that you actually do finish that book.
I would like to. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. So then I think when I turned 40, we had a kind of a big party. My wife, Lisa, invited all my friends, you included, Robert Dayton.
Right. And your daughters under their pseudonyms.
Under their pseudonyms. Millicent and Phyllis came.
Yeah, for some reason, Dave was still using the pseudonyms then, even though they were not necessary.
I want to keep them safe. And
Dave always moves his house around, by the way. Like, he's never in the same place on his cul-de-sac.
Well, that's the thing. Once you guys visited, I was like, okay, we got to move now because everyone knows where we live.
Right. And then you set up an elaborate series of mirrors. So now you don't actually have to move the house, but it just appears to be.
I just shift the mirrors.
You just shift the mirrors. Yeah, that was a smart thing to do, but a lot of dead birds around the house.
So this was when I was 40. So this was 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you suggested we were driving, and Robert Dayton and I were talking about music. And we were going back and forth.
By the way, he was Rob Dayton back then.
That's right.
He became Robert later on.
That's true. He did.
La-di-fugging-da.
So we were talking and you said, you guys should do a podcast together.
Yeah.
And I was like, whatever, dude. Like, what is a podcast? And so.
Well, because you guys were talking about music and you were talking about it with such intensity and in a joking way. And it was funny. And it was like, yeah, this should be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I mean, it was clear to me, like, you guys should do this. And you're also having a good time doing it. Yeah, you should. Because I think also, you know, you balanced each other out personality-wise because he's a real wild card. And you're like, you're a very this and sometimes tell it like it is and I'll just be da-da-da. But you're very funny as well. Yeah. So I was like, oh, that's a good mix. You know, that would be, I still think that would be in a better show than ours. That one. I think you'd be a big success. You'd be invited to music festivals. You'd be top of the pops. Sure. But I'm holding you back.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So then, I guess, whatever. A few years passed by. And part of the problem for me is when you said that it was 40, my youngest daughter was still in her, you know, I think she's 8. So I still, you know, didn't have a lot of time. I was still dealing, you know, still. Like, when they're that age, you can't just leave them to be. You have to be in their lives. So.
No, it used to be back when I was a child, you would just put the kid on the roof, and they can't get down.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can do whatever you need to. Then you go back and you go, oh, the kid's on the roof, I forgot. And you go back up, especially if it's raining.
Well, I mean, they can still go out on the roof.
Or eagles are attacking them.
Sure, you can still go out on the roof, but you just, as a parent, you have to be there to encourage them to go out on the roof.
Yeah.
You know, like,
they have to go out on their own accord.
The kids aren't going to go
out. And then you pull the ladder away and just go, daddy's busy. Special time for daddy.
Yeah, kids aren't going to go outside until you tell them to.
No.
Right? You have to force them outside. I don't want to see you again until lunch. You know?
Right. So. Which is another reason that your house lifts up on one side and will roll the children out.
That's not just for guests.
No, no.
I hope you guys didn't take it personally. When
I was going like, why'd you grease the floor? And like, you'll see. And I was like, well, it's about 10 at night. What's going on? Roll, slide. Yeah.
So long, guests. So yeah, it was a few years after that. And I started listening to podcasts. I finally caught up to what you're talking
about. What podcast did you like?
I think my favorite one is Ink Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the first ones I started listening to. Because they're cartoonists.
Right.
Comic book artists, so it, you know.
Now, were you a fan of one of the hosts from his box office poison work and that
no,
sort of stuff?
Not really. No, I didn't. I mean, I knew of
Alex. I really enjoy that book. So
I knew Alex Robinson, but I didn't know Mike Dawson so much.
No, neither did I.
The other host who's been on our show as well. But I read about it actually through Julia Wirtz, who used to do a Fart Party and now just is, I don't know what she's doing now.
She's doing some standalone graphic novels, yeah.
She's doing standalone and she seems to be kind of out of comics for the last. But
she's taking care of herself, which she should be.
Which is fine.
Good.
So yeah, she just mentioned how much she loved that show and I was like, oh, well, I enjoy her comics, so I might enjoy this show. So I started listening to it and it was just two guys talking a la us. And I just thought, oh man, you know, I could kill it doing that. I didn't realize this was like the most common format of show of all time. Two guys with a two microphones.
Nothing wrong with being common.
Well.
Hamburgers are common. Mm. People enjoy a hamburger.
I love hamburgers.
There you go. You got something against burgers? No? They don't have anything against this.
But a little while ago, I think you were joking. I hope you were joking. You said, I do this show as a favor to you. Which was terrible when you said that because.
Oh,
that
would I'm sorry.
I'm sure you're joking, but it would be terrible if that was the truth. Right? Because it'd be so terrible. Like, why would you do that?
Well, favor is not the correct way of putting it. But here's the thing. If someone comes up to me with a creative endeavor and it's one that I actually have time to do, I will do.
Yeah.
Because I'd like to encourage creative things, especially amongst my friends. And if it's something that I see them that would bring out something good in them, then definitely I would want to do it. I've done like a lot of sketch stuff with people and I've done other projects with people, you know, so I'm a real yes and guy when it comes to that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when you were approaching me with that, it wasn't something that I on my own was like, hells yeah. It was, oh, that sounds interesting. Let's give that a shot.
Okay.
Let's see how it goes.
Yeah.
And so that's where I was coming from on that. And then it was like, okay, will we be able to kill an hour? Says the guys who do the hour and a half show every freaking day. And what happened with the show itself was where I kind of went mentally was I wanted to make it like my comic used to be in that with my comic, the kind of rule I made was I'm going to tell as much truth as I can without hurting other people, without exposing other people too much. So if, say, you ask me a question, I will always try to answer it honestly. You know, for all our discussions about honesty and truth, mm-hmm. you know, if you ask me something, I will try and tell you the truth of the matter.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's an opportunity for a cheap joke, I will fucking make it and I will make myself look like an ass. I will not try to be in any way on this show cool.
Yeah.
That's one thing I don't want to be on this show is cool because I really.
Because you can't compete against me.
That's absolutely correct.
Yeah.
Once again, we've described all of your chains. Dave has not changed the way he's dressed since high school.
No.
But like, I do not like cool.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I find with the two dudes.
Please point out their bicycle chains.
That's right. Because Dave steals bicycles. Only for drugs.
That's right.
Not for himself.
No.
No, he just tries to hook people on drugs
yeah.
that don't like drugs through an ad campaign he's got called something. Anyway, I don't want to go too far on a riff.
That's why I'm cool.
That's right. That is why you're cool. Yeah. I've completely forgotten where I was going. No, when I
listen, don't want to look cool.
When I listen to the other shows, there's a lot of very, very funny ones. And like some of my favorites are Stop Podcasting Yourself.
Yeah.
I really enjoy that one.
Yeah, I listen to that too.
Yeah, and I've heard like a lot of others. And I think here's something that was like a turn off for me. I was listening to a podcast last night and it was a podcast between a comic I really enjoy
mm-hmm.
and a guy who's like an old school comic.
Okay.
And they did it like in his car. And so it's on the way to a gig.
Okay.
And he's talking about stuff. And so they're doing like stuff about the Oscars and like, wasn't Seth MacFarlane terrible? It's like, yeah, what was he thinking performing and all this kind of stuff? Well, he's a performer is why he was performing. Anyway, they're shooting the shit and somewhat funny and whatever not. And then they come to a bridge, and it gets brought up that there's a certain amount of suicides there a year. And the one guy says, yeah, I watched this documentary called, I believe it was called 24. It was like about the 25 suicide attempts that happened on the bridge that year. And there's a camera that caught them all. And they made a documentary, and they interviewed the 25th guy who made it.
Okay.
And then he went, yeah, but no one wants to hear about that. No one wants to hear us talk about suicide. And then the other guy's like, well, you know, I mean, we've all had suicidal thoughts. And they kind of get into that a little bit where he starts talking about, like, suicidal thoughts he's had. Mm-hmm. And then the other guy just keeps trying to shut him down.
Yeah.
Just like, no one, listen, we're just trying to do a comedy podcast here. You know, knock it off. And so, all right. And so he shuts up and whatever. And that's what turns me off in a podcast is where people go, I don't want to share anything real.
Yeah.
I just want to be fluffer nuggets through the whole thing. And it's like, okay, that's fine, but you can only eat so much cotton candy.
Sure.
Before ugh. And when I meet with people who like our show, it's, you know, I don't want to get too about this, but yeah, it's something connects. And yeah. I think if you're just being then it's not. But, you know, that's you've true. Been very open on this show about things from your past. And
I think in our real lives, I'm using that in quotations, but I think in our lives away from the microphone, we're still like honest people. I'm not a person who hides very much in my own life. I'm very candid.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say I lack a social filter, and that I always say wrong things at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Because I can't help myself, particularly jokes. I cannot stop myself from making a joke, no matter how inappropriate at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But when you said about that suicide, made me think of when we were traveling with Lisa's cousins and her cousin's husband, and we were going up the Space Needle, and her cousin was saying how much she's afraid of heights, and I just said, it's not that I'm afraid of heights, but I'm afraid because when I'm in high places, I have the urge to jump off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always have this almost uncontrollable urge to jump from a high place.
Right.
And so I have to really try to control that urge,
yeah,
because it's really overpowering for me. And they're both shocked that I would be talking about that. And the moment I was just like, you know, just bringing it up, like, you know, I feel for you. That's all I meant. But yeah, it's changed when you're honest in those sort of moments. Like, I don't see what's embarrassing about it. I think it's a common feeling.
I mean, when you're keeping everything, I mean, I understand in certain social circles, you want to keep it light. Keep it small talk.
Sure,
you don't want to be like on the street and someone goes, how's it going? Ugh, let me tell you. You know, you want to, you know, well, there's times.
But when you have it, and when you connect to people, you know, I want to connect just to more than just.
But there's some, I understand that there's a certain school of thought that goes like, who cares what your fucking problems are? Who cares? It's the old Twitter thing. It's like, who cares what you had for breakfast? You know, that's sort of the go-to with Twitter is like, who cares? But here's who cares. It's like, when you know that everyone else is like just talking about, yeah, I had these eggs, that's what you normally talk to. If you're talking to your wife, you're talking about your breakfast and what you're having and what's good and the minutia and the small shit.
Yeah.
And it's the old thing, like in a relationship, if you don't talk about the small shit, you're not going to talk about the big shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that's sort of the way it is with what we're doing here. It's like you talk about the small shit.
Yeah.
You like make yourself look like an asshole. You do the stupid joke. And that opens things up so you can talk about anything that needs to be talked about.
Sure.
Whereas if you were like, I gotta look cool here, man. I gotta look, I gotta keep my dignity. I gotta, you know, fuck dignity. Dignity left. There's no dignity. God damn it. Fuck off with dignity. I don't care for that. Though here's the thing. I do a message board called No And.
Yes.
And a person wrote on the board and said, they have trouble stopping the joking in public, and it's driven people away.
Yeah.
And I found that kind of interesting, because both of us have that where we'll go too far in a conversation.
Sure.
You know, we'll overshare, as they say.
Overshare, or just at that moment, there's a hilarious joke there to be said.
And you got to say it.
And you got to say it, even though it's probably not a good idea.
Yeah, it'll play with a certain amount of room and the other one it won't.
Yeah.
And so what I came up with that was the creepy, needy dick axis of evil.
Okay.
And that's like, those are the three things you want to try avoiding.
Okay.
And it's like, yeah, you want to be open, and hopefully we're not these things. But like, there's creepy, and creepy is the guy who's like doing too many rape jokes.
Okay.
Who's doing a lot of jokes about your boobs, who's doing a lot of like, you know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And you know that guy.
Yeah.
Who's going too far and wants to go for like the shock and the...
I don't even know if it's shock. This is really a come on, isn't it? If you're talking about a girl's boobs and stuff like that.
It feels like there's a bit of an agenda going on.
Yeah.
Or like they're always turning the topic to something inappropriate.
Yeah.
You know, and I get that. I've been inappropriate. But, you know, what's another person's comfort level if you clearly see they're not comfortable? Mm-hmm. they're not uptight. You need to knock it off.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're being creepy. Needy is the person who is, you know, always needs to be the center of attention, needs to turn the story around to them.
That's me.
Sure. That's fine. You know, that just needs to be the focus and takes everything personal and makes everything personal.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be that kind of needy person. And Dick is the person who does the teasing jokes to another person who does not tease back. And if you tease another person and they do not tease you back, then you're being a dick.
Or even worse, if they do tease you back and you get upset.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because you're the sensitive fucking flower. That's right. Worst, yeah. You know, and just like, hey, man, you know, why is everyone, once again, why is everyone so uptight?
Yeah.
You know, I'm, you know, I'm that guy who's, you know, once again, you're the Bill Murray. You're the guy who comes into the room and does all the put downs and everyone goes, that guy's so cool. Mm. No, fuck that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, watch out for being the creepy, the needy, or the dickish.
Yeah.
And, you know. And the way to open, that's a way to live your life, and I don't think I can change that. So for two people who are way too open, this is an opportunity for us to be too open in a safe space where if you don't want to listen to us, turn it fucking off. It's fine.
Don't say that.
No, it's okay.
If you don't want to listen to us, like us on Facebook, like us on iTunes, give us a high rating on iTunes, and then play us in the background.
That's right.
Well, you don't pay attention.
I feel like it's that experiment they did with torture where they found out that people can take a higher degree of pain if they know they can turn it off.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If you don't think you can turn it off, it drives you crazy. But if you're like, oh, yeah, no, I can stop this anytime.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. So that's what our podcast is. We're a degree of pain that you can turn off anytime. So it's okay and you can tolerate us. It's okay.
Something else Rico said in his note was that he thinks the show is getting better and better. Which kind of surprised me when he said that. One is I think it's going downhill. No, I'm just joking. What is it? I think.
By the way, going downhill is great.
Is it?
Wouldn't you like to go downhill?
It is a cruise.
Here's you going uphill. Oh, fuck. So tired. Oh, Jesus. Are we at the top of the hill? Are we going downhill now? Whee! That's going downhill. Why wouldn't you want to be going downhill?
I think in the sense of the term that it's, you know, all downhill from here, that it's,
yeah, it's great,
broken down, that it's not working so well, that it's falling to pieces.
I don't think they know what downhill means. Like, downhill's fantastic. Who wants to go uphill skiing?
No. Yuck. That's the worst, especially if you don't have cross-country skis.
Yeah, if you're uphill skiing, you're Edmund Hillary. You're miserable.
It takes you like half an hour to go anywhere.
So you were surprised that he thought that the show was getting better?
Well, because it's not that it's, I think it's getting worse. It's just that I think that it's the same. Like, to me, if I listen to show, like, show 24, I don't even know what that show was, but if I listen to show 24, for instance, it would be the same as this show.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I think it's a lot looser.
It's a lot looser?
I think it's a lot looser, yeah. I think there's a lot more awareness in the earlier shows of going to thing, there's more. I mean, we do commenting on, you know, pauses and nonsense. But yeah, I think it's just looser, and you won't be able to tell the difference. But I see it like in the same way that I see stand-up comics. And you go like, if you saw yourself like in year one, that seems like it's fine. And then year three, oh, well, that seems like it. But I can tell that it's like, oh, no, what you've done is you've come into this not worried that you won't be able to think of anything. And you just say, hey, go down. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's loosey-goosey. You know, you're building on what's come before. But, you know, you guys let us know. Well, how are you going to let us know? Are you going to tell us it's shitty now? No. Of course you're not, because that would be a dick thing to say. So, you know, that's the problem. We can never take it's hard to take notes from people because, you know, you want to be nice. You know, but, you know, when people do talk to us and say what they like about the show, I think it is – I like to think, one, that it's funny, hopefully. Fingers crossed, knock on all kinds of wood.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, it's hard to, you know, it's like calling yourself pretty, which I know Dave does. Dave sings that I Feel Pretty, Oh So Pretty song. Mm-hmm. That's his warm-up exercise before he begins each episode.
I sing it in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
It is.
And when you're done, you know you're clean.
While I'm lathering myself, I sing that song.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, maybe the show has gone downhill. Oh, Rico.
Apparently that's
Rico,
a good thing.
What have you wrought? But I do like podcasts just generally, and I think it's a nice forum for self-expression, and I like hearing people's opinions and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't like when people go, oh, I shouldn't say that.
You don't like that?
No. Not at all. Unless it's something that's a secret about another person, then you shouldn't reveal something your wife said, you know, that's something that's secret to her.
Okay.
But if it's something from about you, I'm sort of, when it comes to art, all in. That's usually me.
I would agree with you.
Yeah.
I think we're pretty honest on the show. To a degree. To a degree.
To a healthy degree.
To a healthy degree.
You have made up these crazy names for your daughters, but that's for their own protection.
Yes.
Because you are a mafioso. And every episode ends. I don't know if you listen to the end of every show, but after the music, Dave rats someone out who's in the mob. That's right. Yeah.
I do.
Last week was Fat Stevie Alonso.
Fat Stevie Alonso.
Fat Stevie Alonso, yes. Who runs the... it's the pasta restoration factory down the street, which is if you break your pasta, he will restore it.
He will,
And that business is clearly a front.
Because I've never seen anyone go in there.
Well, a lot of people go in there with their broken lasagna noodles, and he goes, fuck off! And he sends you out. You know. But yeah, you ratted him out last time.
Yes, thank
you. At the very end of the episode.
Thanks for calling me a rat.
Yeah. So anyway, what I'm saying to you all is listen. Like a lot of you just tune out when the music starts playing, and I understand why. But listen to the very end, and you will hear Dave rat out a mafioso every week.
Well, I don't think you listen to the end of the show.
Oh, no, I don't listen to the whole thing. No. God, no.
Because usually I have a little teaser at the end, after the music.
Well, what I usually do is I listen to about the first half hour of the show, and I've got a hand puppet of you and a hand puppet of me, and I act it out in front of a mirror.
Okay.
And then by that point, my hands are very tired.
Okay.
And then I go to bed.
So you do this late at night?
Yeah, it's just my hand exercises.
Okay. Oh, I see. Well, it's good to do that.
And then the next day, I will do the same first 30 minutes, and by the end of the week, I'm very good with the lip syncing, with the two hand puppets.
Well, I think it's great that Ian thinks the show has gotten better and better.
Oh, I don't think so.
Oh, sorry. I was misquoting you then.
No.
Okay.
I'd say that it's gotten better. I wouldn't say it's gotten better and better.
Okay. It's just gotten better.
Yeah.
But not better and better.
And my alarm is going off, meaning I've got to go do
a
show.
Going. So let me just say to Rico and to others that if you guys want to approach us, please do. We are not unapproachable. We're actually very friendly. And I know people are shy and sometimes afraid to talk.
How should people approach us? Like, say, I'm me, and you're someone who listens to the show.
Yeah.
I will never call anyone a fan because I do not feel it's our place to ever call anyone a fan of the show.
Yeah.
If you want to say you're a fan of the show, that's great. But it bugs me with like a lot of things like comics or whatever, where someone goes, the fans feel. No.
Well, no.
The readers, the listeners, the whatever.
If you're a sneaker.
Yeah. If you're a sneaker, we call you sneakers. If you go, don't call me a sneaker, I'll go, I'm not going to call you a sneaker. Okay. So I'm David Dedrick.
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah.
So you, Dave, now approach me. Like, we've just done a show, and you're in the audience, and you're like, I want to go and say hi to these fellas.
Yeah.
And I'm David. So I'm going to be here, and I'm going to be whittling, which is what you do at the end of every show.
Every show.
So I'm just whittling away.
What am I making?
I am making, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make myself a dried apple head doll.
Okay.
I'm going to take the dried apple head, and I'm going to sharpen a steak like structure, and I'm going to jam the apple head onto it.
Yikes.
And then what I do is I act out with apple head dolls the full show. I'm like Ian.
This is something I like to keep secret about myself.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I've but anyway, I'm whittling now. You approach me.
Okay.
This is the proper way to approach us.
Okay. You know, I really like the show you guys do.
Oh, here's $20.
Wow.
That's our guarantee. If you come and say hi to us, Dave will give you $20
Canadian dollars
for every person that comes up and says that they like the show. That's our guarantee. That is our guarantee to you. Just come up to David at any point.
Yes.
And like, I know it's hard to find his house because it's a series of mirrors and it's very confusing. Mm-hmm. Do not drive down that street or you will die from shattered glass. But if you actually do see Dave, he's much like a leprechaun. He's elusive. And you can corner him and you give him a compliment, $20. And these are Dave bucks. I should, they are only valid for
you
things.
You said 20 Canadian dollars.
Yeah, well, you're Canadian.
No, I'm not.
What are you?
I'm an American.
But you also are a landed immigrant, right?
I'm a landed immigrant. Yeah, I'm not Canadian.
Okay. So they are American dollars. They're American Dave bucks. And they are valid for anything that you can find on Dave's deck.
Wow, this is getting complicated.
Right. It's like Wheel of Fortune where they used to like, you could pick, you know, you could get the money, but then you'd have to like pick from a whole series of things.
Okay.
Dave will take you to his magical deck.
Mm-hmm.
And
my magic deck of cards.
Sure.
Okay.
And you will pick anything you want from Dave's deck.
Okay.
With 20 Dave bucks.
Sure. Sounds great.
So anyway, thanks.
What this tells me is we should have more meetings before the show.
We certainly have.
Yeah.
We certainly have.
This seems a bit of a surprise.
Yeah. This
$20.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're printing up the Dave bucks.
Yeah.
I know you're thinking of starting your own country.
It's true.
And so, You know, yeah. I mean, that's the point of this whole deck, is mm-hmm. that it's part of your counterfeiting ring.
Sure.
Okay. So we're going to wrap the show up now. Again, listen for the end of the show. Dave will rat out someone in the mob.
Yes.
Okay.
I will.
Well, this has been a treat, Dave. I've got to go do a Dungeons & Dragons show, Critical Hit show. Sorry you guys missed it. If you missed it, we will be doing it the last Wednesday of next month as well.
All right.
Anything else for you to plug?
Nope.
All right. Come on our site. Say hi. And thanks, Rico. Really appreciate it. And thanks. I forget the name of the person who said enough trollop, more deck talk. But whoever you were.
It was Pierce.
Pierce. Yep. Thanks, Pierce. Really appreciate that as well. I think we're done.
Yes, we are.
Wrap it up.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Well, why do you always say night? You can be listening at any time of day.
Good day, everybody.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Now we sound like the McKenzie brothers.
Good eye.
All right. Bye.
Little Vic Borgnini.
Ha ha ha.